No, God is allowing you to breathe air and take up space on his earth for a reason. So we need to be about the job of doing what God calls us to do.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of I'm Still Here. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of I'm Still Here.
He says he looks forward to his trial date with great anticipation because he was confident that Christ would empower him and he would not be ashamed in any way. In the meantime, Paul was still here and he looked forward to the opportunity to serve Christ. So we want to talk about three things this morning. I'm going to hit them and we'll be done. The first thing that I want to say, Paul said that I'm still here to exalt Christ. I'm still here to exalt Christ. Look what he said in verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by my life or by my death. Paul said that whether I'm alive or whether I'm dead, I want my life to glorify the Lord. I want to exalt Christ in my life. So let me ask you the question. Are you exalting Christ with your life? Does your life reflect an individual who exalts Christ? If you talk to any Muslim, they exalt Allah. If you talk to any Buddhist, they exalt Buddha. If you talk to other people of other religions, they exalt their God. So my question this morning, my brothers and sisters, are you exalting Jesus Christ? Is he the glorification of your life? Have you pointed others to Jesus Christ? Paul said, with my life, with the fact that I'm still here, I could have been dead, as the song writer said, I could have been dead and gone, no food and no clothes. But I'm still here. Since I'm still here, I'm going to exalt Christ. Look at Psalm 115, verses 17 and 18. It says this: the dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore praise the Lord. That as long as I have breath in my life, I'm going to praise the Lord. That's what Paul said, that you're still here. You are left here for a reason. And one of the reasons that you are left here, according to Paul, is to exalt the Savior. Look what he says in Luke 19, verse 40. He answered, Jesus answered, said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Now we all know the song, right? Ain't no rock gonna cry in my place. As long as I have breath, I'm going to glorify the Lord. So that's the first thing that we want to say. The second thing that we want to point out is this. I'm still here not only to exalt Christ, but I'm also here to live for Christ. I'm not only going to exalt him, but while I'm here, I'm going to live for him. Look what he says in verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and the die is gain. Wow. He said, when I leave this life, he said, man, I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord where there is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. That when I die, I'm going to a place where the weary are at rest and the wicked cease from troubling. I'm going to a place where my father, my mother, my loved ones have gone before. Man, that's going to be gain. He said, for me to die is gain. But, for me to live is Christ. And my life is all about Jesus Christ. I shared the illustration before. Many of you who grew up during my era, one of the famous late night talk shows was the Johnny Carson show, right? And Johnny Carson had a sidekick by the name of Ed McMahon. And Ed McMahon would come out every night before Johnny hit the stage. And Ed McMahon would say, "Here's Johnny." Dun-dun-dun-dun. And Johnny Carson would come out, right? So our life, if we live for Christ, our life should be a continual testimony of glorifying the Lord, of letting people see Christ in us, and so that when we live this life, when people look at us, that they should say, "There's Jesus." The Bible says about the disciples that that people took note that they had been with the Lord. And as I think about our life, that if we live our life, when we're done here on this earth, God will take us home. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." Then Revelation 11 and verse 7. In Revelation, we have two witnesses during the tribulation period who are witnessing for the Lord. And they're able to do great things. They're able to call down fire from heaven. They're able to stop rain. They're able to do all kinds of miracles. And nobody can stop them. Nobody can stop them. And then it says in Revelation 11 in verse 7, "And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast ascended out of the bottomless pit and shall make war against them and shall overcome them and shall kill them." You can't do anything if God has a purpose, if God has a plan for your life. Nobody can mess with you. Nobody can touch you until God is finished. It ain't over until God says it over. And so the fact that you're still here means that you haven't finished your testimony yet. And I'm here to tell you today, saints, and I know I'm going to get in trouble, but I'll just say this, that I would say that I love to watch. I got some TV programs that I love to watch. So I ain't going to make any bones about it. But if your purpose in life is, if that's your purpose in life, man, you cheating yourself and you cheating God. God still has a testimony. God still has something for you to do. And I want to propose, and I said all that to say this, the lead up to this point, that Paul said that he would exalt Christ, he would live for Christ, and that he while he had breath, while he had his testimony, he was going to do what Christ called him to do. And the next thing that we see is that, next slide, there you go. He said, "I'm still here to disciple others for Jesus Christ." He said, "That's my purpose." Now, notice, what was the heart of Jesus? What was the heart of Jesus? It was discipleship. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus' heart was discipleship. Before he's getting ready to go back to heaven, he didn't say build a great choir. He didn't say build a great Bible institute. He didn't say build a great attendance and following in a congregation. What was the thing that he said? He said, "Make disciples." He said, "That's my heart. That's my passion, is to make disciples." And look at Paul as we continue to read in Philippians. "I'm still here. I'm still here." Philippians chapter 1, verse 22. "But if I live in the flesh," and what he's saying here, if I continue to live in this life, "this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I know not." He said, "For I am in a strait between two." He said, "Man, I'm in a dilemma. I'm in it between a rock and a hard place." having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Look what Paul said. Paul said that my desire is to leave here. My desire is to get out. Now, keep in mind that Paul had been caught up to the third heaven, and he has seen things that the average person never even came close to seeing. And so Paul, realizing what it was like to be in the presence of God, he said, man, I have a longing. I have a desire. I just want to get up out of here. I just want to leave. I just want to go to heaven. But, verse 24, nevertheless, to abide here in the flesh, in this body, is more needful to you. What's he saying? He's saying, I'm still here. That means that God has some work for me to do. That I'm still here, and God has ministry for me to do. I'm still here, that there's still a purpose, there's still a job for me to do. Your friends, relatives might be gone. You can't bring them back, but you're still here. And notice the fact that he's still here. And you know, when you think about, you know, how did Paul die? You know, Paul was, he spent his last days in a Roman dungeon, you know, where there was rats, all kind of sickness in this dark, damp, nasty dungeon. And it culminated in him being beheaded. So, I mean, Paul, knowing that he was going through rough times, he said, man, I'd rather get up out of here. I'd rather leave than deal with all this mess down here. I mean, I don't know about you, but that's my prayer sometimes. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Lord, man, it just seems like if you're looking below, that you know is worse than it ever been. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. And we can get in this mentality that we are ready to leave. We are ready to check out. We are ready to go to heaven. But God got work for you to do. God has something for you to do. And look what Paul identifies, what God has for him to do. In verse 25, he says, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you. So what's he saying? I'm still here. I'm still here. I'm abiding and I'm continuing with you. And why is that? For the furtherance and joy of your what? Of your faith. What is that? If you want to further somebody's faith, what is that? That's discipleship. He said that I'm here because I want you not only to have joy about your faith, but I want to further your faith. I want to build you up. Paul's heart, Paul's passion. The reason that he wanted to stay was so that he could invest in the lives of other people. And so if you'll go to that next slide, and we see 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Look where Paul's heart was. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. We have the first generation. And the first generation was Paul. He told Timothy what you have heard from me. The second generation was Timothy, who was Paul's disciple. And he said the things that thou hast heard. The third generation are faithful men. And who are the faithful men? They are Timothy's disciples. Commit thou. And that word commit, you know what it means? It's a financial term. And it means to deposit. Like you would go to the bank and you would deposit your money into the bank. He says that you deposit things in those around you. Now, stay with me because I'm going somewhere. The fourth generation would be others. And these would be disciples of faithful men. And they were called to teach others. So this is the model right here. Now, go to that next slide. There should be another one with some cycles on it. There you go, right there. So I'm going to ask this question. And I'm about done, but I'm going to ask this question. Where are you in the cycle? The first generation, are you a Paul? The second generation, are you a Timothy? The third generation, are you a faithful individual? Or the fourth generation, are you others? Now, maybe I can ask even a deeper question. And the deeper question is this. Have you stopped the cycle? Have you stopped the cycle? I mean, this is, you know, just think that this is what the early church did. And that's why it grew. If they didn't do this, I mean, God could supernaturally intervene, but it would be done. It would be over. You know, when I think about first generation, let me give you some names. Let me give you some names. Pastor Al Berkeley, who pastors a church in Braddock, he deposited into the life of Bill Blaze. Bob Ross, my pastor in Durango, Colorado, he deposited into the life of Bill Blaze. That's why, you know, look, Alan McFarland, we have some people from his church. I didn't even know they were going to be here this morning. We got some people from his church. Alan McFarland deposited in my life. And that's why if any three of these brothers ask me to do anything, I'll do it. I'll do it. Because they spent time with me. They poured into me. They got me to the place where I am today. And I'm so grateful that they were my Pauls. I'm so grateful when I had a question about this or I had a question about that, that these individuals were right there and they poured into my life. And I said, Lord, I can't stop the cycle. I can't stop the cycle. So it's been my objective. And let me share this with you. I began to think about who else poured into my life, right? Charles Stanley, John MacArthur, E.V. Hill. I go back and I look at these guys poured into me that when I was hungry, that when I was young and I was immature, that I just gravitated to these individuals and they poured into my life. And that was a form of discipleship. And so you know, I begin to ask the question, you know, Bill, how are you pouring into the lives of other people? And you know, one of the things that I can share is that when I was in college, right, I was on the football team. And so we used to hang out with guys on the football team. I would get high with them, and we would party. But then I got saved one summer when I came back. And my life changed. And I began to witness to all these guys on the football team. And as a result of that, you know, some of them started, you know, I got hooked up with a church. Some of them started coming to church. And they started growing. And you know, when you graduate from college, you don't see people anymore. Man, I'm getting calls all the time. Over the years, I've got about 4 or 5 calls. Hey, Glaze, you poured into my life. I'm a deacon in the church now. Hey, Glaze, you poured into my life. I'm pastoring a church right now. Hey, Glaze, you poured into my life that I'm involved in this ministry right now. And I can get these guys calling me and emailing, texting, and I'm like, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we continue that whole process of pouring into others. So my brothers and sisters, I asked the question this morning. I asked the question this morning, have you been the clog in the cycle? Have you been the block in the process? Wow, this thing is supposed to keep going. If we were to chart you up there, would this thing still be rolling? Or would it be stopped? Would it be stopped? And so, I mean, models for discipleship? Oh man, there are many. There are many models. You can disciple your kids. You can pour into your kids. You can pour into your grandkids. You know, we have opportunities here to work with youth. to work with other people, to pour in. If you say, well, I don't know how to do it, that's why we have the discipleship class, to help you to be able to disciple somebody else. Yeah, the class is for people who need to be discipled. Yeah, it is. But a part of my vision is that people who want to know how to disciple somebody else, that they could get in the class and become familiar with how to disciple others. So, where are you? So if I ask the question right now, you know, who's pouring into your life? And whose life are you pouring into? Oh. That must grieve the heart of Jesus if we can't answer that in a way that glorifies Christ. Why do you say that grieves the heart? Because what was the very thing on Christ's heart before he left? It was discipleship. And if we are not involved in that process in some shape or form, and let me say this, that discipleship is a lifelong process. Discipleship is not a destination. Discipleship is a journey. And that we're continually doing it. So if you put that other thing that you had up there, Brother Hart, this is the little story about four people named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought that anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. You waiting for somebody else? Oh, that's what we pay pastor for. That's why we pay TL, right? That's why we got this man. No, discipleship in some shape or form is everybody's job. We have all been called to discipleship. You say, I don't know who to disciple. Well, I tell you what, if you get down on your hand, and I like what one of the ladies used to say on Wednesday nights, if you get down on your rusty knees and you ask God and you pray, and he might not show you right away, but you be steadfast in prayer, and God will, I tell you what, somebody will come running to you. God will form in your path. I've seen it happen time and time again. You know, one of the things that I get all the time now, I get preachers that call me, young preachers. I guess, you know, because I'm on the radio, on TV. And hey, Doc, can you mentor me? Can we spend some time together? Can we enter into a mentoring relationship? So, I mean, I'm saying that if you just position yourself, God will get the people to you. You will not lack for somebody to disciple if you have a heart for discipleship. But the problem is that sometimes we don't have that heart. And so, you know, God says, well, you know, why should I send them your way? You know, you don't want to do it. You're not equipped to do it. But if we will equip ourselves, if we will ready ourselves, God will get the people to us. So don't wait for somebody else. But it's not my mother, it's not my father, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of being discipled or disciple somebody else.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Rock of Ages. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, I'm Still Here, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request, I'm Still Here. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request, I'm Still Here. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.